while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I thought I was coming here to minister to you, but I have been ministered to since the start of the service, and we praise God for that. I've been really encouraged by the faith that you are demonstrating, particularly at this time, and also during the intercessory prayers, that God, of course, He's with us here at Pollardsill Baptist Church, but is also all over the world. And to the world, the church is dying. The church is in decline. But to us, with our eyes of faith, God is pruning His church. God wants the faithful remnant, not the majority. And we want each one of us to be part of that faithful remnant. And we give thanks to God for that. My brothers and sisters, today we have gathered in challenging times. We mourn the loss of loved ones who worshipped with us, who were a part of Pollardsill Baptist Church, and their passing left us shocked and heartbroken. And in these times we ask the question, Lord, why? As Andy was reading from that John's Gospel, I was asking that same question, why? Why now? And a thought came to my mind, and I believe it's the Holy Spirit, and I want to share that with you. That was not part of my message at all. Andy was reading from John chapter 20. John chapter 20 is the penultimate chapter of John's Gospel. And John chapter 20 starts with Mary Magdalene going to visit the tomb of Jesus. And then, no Jesus. So she comes back and tells Peter and the other disciple, which is John. Now, John might be a bit younger than Peter. And then what do Peter and John do? They walk briskly, and then they start running. And the Bible tells us that the other disciple outran Peter to go and see Christ. Our friends who have gone have just outran to see Jesus. We are on our way to go see Jesus as well. One day we will see Jesus, and that is a hope that we have. They have just gone ahead of us. But the good news is we will all be together. And that is the hope that we have. And that's the hope that I want to share with you again today. God, as we sang today, God does not abandon us in our suffering. He's precisely there with us. He's probably more closer to us than ever. When Pastor Deji asked me to come and share God's word today, I said immediately said a yes. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. I will be here. I would have chosen a different passage. But then Pastor Deji said, no, it is Romans chapter 5. And I want you to talk about the love of God. What? The love of God. And that was a kind of a moment of discipleship for me. And I said, yes, I will. And as I sat down, read that passage, actually, it is the love of God. And whatever God has put on my heart, I share with you. Because God speaks through us through every part of Scripture. No part of Scripture is great or less. Sometimes we see those red letter Bibles, Jesus' words in red. They are no more anointed or holy than any part of other Scripture. The whole Scripture is God's word, and it is sufficient for our salvation and our faith in practice. Praise God. I want to share with you some assurances that we find in Romans chapter 5, the first 8 verses, that God's love can even sustain us in the darkest valleys. The first 2 verses talk about God's love that gives us peace in suffering. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. Paul, again, begins by reminding us we have been justified. We have the peace of God. What is this peace? This peace, friends, is not just a feeling. It's not just a feeling. It is a deep assurance that God has us covered. That we are surrounded by His presence as a loving Father. Right now, our hearts are burdened with grief and sorrow. But we have peace. We might not fully realize that, and that's what I want to unpack this morning. The famed C.S. Lewis once said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but in our pain, He shouts. It is His megaphone to arouse a deaf world. That's why pain is difficult. In sorrow, God is not silent. He speaks His peace over us through Christ, reminding that we are reconciled with Him. We are not aliens to God. We are His sons and daughters. How much more God is going to surround us with His peace? Because we are in Christ, reconciled to Him. How can I explain this peace? Whenever there is a thunderstorm, you may have seen my little girl Nina, who's four. She's scared of these lightning and thunder. So she immediately runs, wherever she is, she runs to me. And I just give her a tight hug. Now, she may not understand why the thunder roars or the lightning strikes, but in the arms of her father, she feels safe. However crazy you are, Mr. Storm, I am safe in the arms of my daddy. All that fear is gone. She can't explain it. She doesn't even understand how thunders come and lightning strike. But she has that assurance, when I am with my daddy, nothing matters, because He will keep me safe. And that is the kind of peace that our Father gives us in times of trouble. Sometimes we cannot rationalize, why now? Why this person? Why such at a young stage? We don't know. But it's that presence that wraps around us. And God says, trust me, I'm still in control. How do we experience this peace? Do you have that peace today? Some of you might say yes. Some of you might say not yet. But how do we experience that peace? It is through your relationship with God. It is through the Holy Spirit, who God promised, the advocate, the comforter. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. The comforter will come. Us experiencing that peace is directly related to our relationship with God. The more closer we are with God, the more we are surrounded by God. The more further we go away and expect, Lord, where is this peace? The Lord will just be standing there and saying, I'm right here. It is you who are going away from me. Come to me and trust me. When grief overwhelms us, the Holy Spirit is our comforter, wrapping us in God's peace. And it is through that word that we read, through the prayers that we do, through the community, the church, we encounter that peace. And together, we still rejoice in times of struggle and suffering. The world may offer temporary peace through distractions, entertainment, worldly pleasures, but true peace lasts. True peace gives us that solid assurance. Peace does not ignore our pain, friends. It acknowledges it. Despite that pain, we experience that peace. The Bible has many different names for God, and one of the names that I absolutely love is Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us every moment of our lives. Whether we realize it or not, that's what we just sang. There are moments in life when words fail us. The grief is so deep and sorrow is so overwhelming, we don't know what to say. But it is that Holy Spirit, it is the God, the Holy Spirit, that gives us words. We just heard that in the intercessory prayers again. When Pastor Deji called me the following day at 7 a.m. with the news, I was out of words. I was probably silent for 10 seconds. I didn't know what to say. And immediately, it was the Holy Spirit who spoke through me. The words that I said, even I was surprised. The thoughts were never there in my mind. As I prayed for Pastor Deji, words I said, I believe they are from the Holy Spirit. As I was saying those words, a deep truth emerged, which made me go, my goodness, Lord, you're amazing. When I prayed, I said something like, Lord, if there is someone in the entire world and in the entire creation who understands to lose a son, it is you. And you know what's even more crazier? He did that on purpose. Why? So that you and I could also become his children. And that is the love of God, friends. That is the love of God that he intentionally chose to sacrifice his own beloved son so that you and I could become a son and a daughter. What greater love is there? What greater love is there? It's one thing to say that God sees us suffering, but it's another thing to know that he has gone through that suffering and is now is available for us to help us in our own suffering. We don't worship a God who doesn't know pain. There are many gods and goddesses around here, but our God went through that suffering himself. And he ministers to us through his experience. Which means that in our darkest moments, we have a father who's always there. He's always there. This is the father that we worship. A father who weeps with us. A father who holds us when we cannot stand. When grief comes, loss shakes our very being. Let us remember the one who is holding us. Why? Because we are reconciled with Christ. And once we become his children, he will never, ever let us go. In a few weeks, probably, you'll read Romans chapter 8, where it talks about there's nothing in the world or in heaven, neither height nor depth or anything that can separate us from the love of Christ. You know why? Because we are reconciled to God through Christ. And that is his love that he shows us. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, then talk about how God's love actually, believe it or not, builds us through suffering. Not all suffering is bad. Not all suffering is bad. Verse 3 says, not only so, but we also glory in our suffering. Pardon me? We glory in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. This does not mean we need to rejoice in pain itself, but even in our grief, God is at work. Again, we just sang that. That's why I was saying I was being ministered too. Everything I wanted to say this in this message, we already sung or we read. There's nothing new that I'm going to bring it to you. I love that verse, friends. At the moment, we don't have all the answers, But we know God's promise that He will not waste our tears. Every tear is precious to Him, especially of His children. This is where our faith becomes real. Our faith is not just a set of doctrinal beliefs. I believe, you know, recite the Apostles' Creed. But we show that through practice. Because God deals with real people, real emotions, grief, real feelings, whatever you might be going through now. They matter to God. Life is full of trials and suffering. Things break, relationships break, meetings fail, plans fail. Technology that's supposed to help us causes us even more problems. Sickness, accidents, disappointments, tragedies. When we focus on our suffering alone, of course it's depressing. It's very depressing if we focus on our suffering alone. Let me tell you a story. I was 10 or 12. My mom and dad, they were having a conversation saying that we need something for our, we bought a house. So we need something for our new house in the lounge. And they thought, well, let's buy a brand new rug. You know, one of those beautiful designed rugs. So they asked me, would you like to come to the shop so that you could also see what kind of rug we can buy? So I was like, okay. And I'm the only child anyway. So I went with them and we sat there and the owner came and said, you came at the right time. We have just got a new shipment of beautiful designs. Really, this is a kind of a rare batch that we got. So you would be our first customer to buy from this new batch of amazing carpets. So, of course, everyone was excited, and they bought the first batch, and I looked at that batch. For me, they were actually ugly. Random color patterns, you know, random weaving through. I was like, what was this person thinking when they made them? Is this kind of a postmodern art? What is this rug? And then I went to my dad and said, can I say something? Please, you know, don't get upset. I was like, what happened? Like, these are really ugly. Why do you want to buy these rugs? And apparently this is the best shipment in the world. I was like, these are really ugly. And my dad just looked at me and he smiled. Of course, Seidel, they are ugly. Because you're looking at the wrong side of the carpet. They were literally bought, so they were put upside down. So the guy was supposed to come and turn them around. That experience actually taught me something beautiful in life. When we focus on something and not see the bigger picture, of course it is depressing. And when we focus on our suffering and our distress, whatever trials we are going through, life is miserable indeed, and the world doesn't have anything to offer positively. Maybe a distraction. In the same way, if we look at our trials and suffering, we are just looking at the wrong side of life. Our life is much more than that. There is a beautiful pattern that connects everything, and God will reveal it to us one day of the actual intended beautiful design of our life. But how sad it is if we start judging our own life, or even worse, start judging God by what we go through. Even if we judge God, He's still there working, because He's a loving God. He can understand us, we are frustrated. He can understand our feelings. Why? He Himself has gone through them. And that's why we call Him a loving Father who understands us through and through. Nothing comes to Him as a surprise. The Bible is filled with practical wisdom, real wisdom in action. Now tell me something. Tell me if it is true or not. The moment we encounter a difficulty or a trial, we get down on our knees and on our knees to pray and ask God to remove it. True or false? It is human to do so. Please hear me now. That is basic Christianity. That's basically our humanity talking. Lord, I'm going through such a lot of pain. Can you just remove it? Take it away. Make me happy again. That is basic Christianity. Do you know what spiritually mature Christian should do? That same verse, you know, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, character hope, is repeated again in the book of James. And James, in chapter 1, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. What? Same language. Be happy when you're sad. It's like an oxymoron. What are you saying, James? You see, testing of your faith produces perseverance. That same language again. Let perseverance finish its work in you so that you may become mature. Your character is built and you are complete. You know what James is trying to say, and also Paul? God cannot build our character without testing of our faith. We have to go through struggles. That's what makes us strong. And our faith is being tested right now. God's goal for our lives is to be mature and complete like Christ, not to be an infant child or infant child of God. You know what else? When we are going through suffering, rather than asking God to remove that suffering, you know what James says? This is even more shocking. He says, ask for wisdom. Pardon me, sir. When I'm going through suffering, trials, instead of asking deliverance and grace, you're asking me to ask for wisdom? Yes. It doesn't make sense. Oh, yes, it does. When we are in the middle of suffering, we should ask for wisdom. Why? Because wisdom helps us to see trials not as something to endure, but as something that God can use to shape us. I've changed my prayers many years ago. When I'm going through suffering, Lord, what are you teaching me? How are you shaping me? What attitudes of mind do you want to control and mold? Show me, Lord. And God, in his infinite grace and wisdom, of course, will take away that pain at some point, but only after my character formation. Because his goal is for us to become spiritually mature. Why is wisdom the right prayer in suffering? Because it helps us to see beyond that suffering. It helps us to put our eyes onto God and onto the future. It helps us to understand that God is not wasting our suffering. He's using it to mature us, to make us complete, to shape our very character, so that when we encounter the same suffering next time, we don't react the same way that we do now. We are different. We don't always understand what God is doing when we are hurting, but wisdom gives us a new perspective. It helps us to shift from, why is this happening to me, Lord? Why it's me? Or why is it only me that all things happen? From that to, how can you use this for my growth and for your glory, Lord? The good news that James tells us is that God gives wisdom generously to those who ask him. When we seek him in our struggles, he will guide us. He will teach us. At the end, we will actually become stronger. We will become more steadfast and we will become more Christ-like. So instead of asking the hardship to be removed, let's pray, Lord, give me wisdom. Let me see how you see things. Show me where I need to grow. God never wastes our pain or a tear. He uses it to refine us and shape us and bring about something beautiful in our lives. A clay pot sitting in the sun will always be a clay pot. But only when it goes through that extreme white heat of the furnace, it turns into porcelain. It's tough, but that's what makes a clay pot into porcelain, and the value just jumps up. Perseverance. Corrie ten Boom, who survived the horrors of the concentration camp, once said, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." Doesn't matter where you are here this morning. In the depths of that pit of struggle, you can still find God. Even in the darkest moments, God's love reaches us. Suffering refines our faith. And there's that great verse from Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10. I have refined you, though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. The Bible frequently compares suffering, problems, difficulties to a furnace. I always wondered why. As a young person just reading the scripture, the metaphors that God uses always made me wonder why this and not something else. But it's the furnace of a refiner's fire who heats it up so high that gold or silver, they melt. And all the impurities also melt away. So you're left with the finest product. I heard a story of a silversmith who was once asked, "How do you know when the impurities in a metal are actually burnt away?" He said, "When I can see my reflection in the silver, then I know the impurities are not there anymore." How beautiful is that illustration? Friends, when God can see His reflection in us, He knows then we are perfect. And that's what He wants to do with each one of us. He made us in His image, but we are surrounded with impurities around the world. He's taking us through suffering. He's taking us through trials. Why? So that we build perseverance. Why? So that our character is formed. Why? So that we have hope. And ultimately, we are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit day by day, day by day, day by day. Why? To be like Christ. Mature and complete. That's why all the apostles, the Bible writers, they say, when you're going through suffering, when you're going through grief, through trials, rejoice. The world will look at us and think you're foolish Christians. And that's how they think about Christians anyway. But for us, the gospel is the power of God that transforms us from the inside. Don't judge your life, or even worse, judge God, because of our present suffering. God is a God of love. And it's precisely because of that love He wants us to make stronger and even use suffering to do so. And finally, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. God's love gives us hope beyond this life. We read through that. We sang through that. We prayed through that. This last point is like preaching to the choir. We have hope in Christ. We can trust that His love is greater than death itself. This is our great hope. Our dear brother, Nii, just outran us. He's with the Lord, we believe, and one day we will meet Him. I love this quote from Billy Graham when he was alive many years ago. He said this, "Someday you will hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I have just changed my address. I have gone into the presence of God." That is the same with our brother and sister. They just changed their addresses. They are more alive than ever If they can come and talk to us, they'll be like, please don't grieve. I'm actually very happy. I'm with Jesus, and I look forward to the day when you will join me. Immanuel God. He's God when we are alive. He's also our God when we die. We are never alone, even in death. God will carry us through, even in death. And friends, this is the God we worship. This is the God we sing about. I come from a land where you name the religion, you'll probably find it there. Hundreds and thousands of worldviews and religions. I can't find any faith that gives us this kind of assurance that a God will be an Immanuel even in death. Our Savior won't leave us alone. And the Bible again and again talks in a month's time, we'll celebrate Easter, the Resurrection Sunday. Paul talks about Christ's resurrection as the first fruits in 1 Corinthians 15. Beautiful agricultural image. What does first fruits mean? When a farmer is ready to harvest the crop, will go in random places, like maybe from this corner he collects a sample, from that corner he collects a sample, he goes into the middle, collects a sample, goes to the far end, collects a sample of the harvest, and puts it in a basket and then examines it. If the whole crop, that basket that he collected is good, that means the entire crop is good. If some of the collections that he got is not good, that means the whole crop is not good. And Paul is comparing Christ as the first fruits. What does that mean? Because Christ successfully, rose again from the dead, anyone who trusts in him will also rise again like him. What is the proof? He rose again. And he is our first fruits. And that is the hope to which we hold. That is the hope to which we hold. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I will go and prepare a place for you. Our death is just a moment in time, but Christ's resurrection secures our eternal life. Let me conclude with a real encounter a preacher had with his daughter. This preacher, great preacher, was known for his sermon illustrations. And one day, his wife passed away. He was standing in front of a coffin with his 8-year-old daughter. Her name was Sarah. Sarah looked at the coffin and then looked at her dad and said, "Daddy, you told me that Jesus died for us. Then why did Mummy have to die?" That was a brilliant question from an 8-year-old. At least at that age. This great preacher didn't know how to respond. So he said, "Darling, just give me some time, I'll get back to you." As they were going to the cemetery, the sun was shining bright. They stopped at the traffic signal, and beside their van stopped a huge tractor, and the shadow of the truck was on the footpath. So he looked at his daughter and asked, "Sarah, if you would had to be run over, would you choose the truck or the shadow of the truck?" She said, "Daddy, if it's the truck, I'll die. So I'll rather choose the shadow of that truck." Then he smiled at her and said, "That's what Christ has done, dear. He let the judgment of God, which is the truck, go through him, so that our death, which is just the shadow, goes through over you and me now. Don't you worry about this death, darling. He's going to raise us all again one day, and we'll see Mummy again." The hope to which we hold. As Christians, we hope that we will see Christ one day, and in that process, we will see me one day. Do you believe that me is with Jesus?
Yes.
We believe that. We believe he's there. But here's the question I want to ask you. Will we be there? If you can say a resounding amen, praise the Lord.
Amen.
If you are doubting, cry out to God. Ask for forgiveness. And that's what the whole Romans chapter 5 passage was there. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And we have peace with God because through Christ he has reconciled us. You see, all this glorious hope that we have in Christ is gone if we don't make it. How sad would that be? We heard about this hope through sermons, we sang about it, we read through scripture, and if we ourselves don't make it through, that's probably a disaster. Make sure that your hope is deeply and firmly rooted in Christ. Examine. That's why the Bible says again and again, examine your lives. Try and remove anything that is not worthy of the salvation that you have. God got us covered. But if we choose to ignore God, God is a gentleman. He'll never beg. Let this message not only give us a hope, but also give us a warning. Lord, I talk about this, I preach about this, I share about this glorious hope. Let me take part in that glorious hope one day. And that's why the Apostle Paul says a prayer in 1 Thessalonians. Let the Lord, you know, keep us body, soul, and spirit blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the prayer that I have for all of us, including myself. One of the things that I constantly self-examine myself, not only whenever I take communion, but every day. Lord, here is me. I woke up. Hold me secure this day. Protect me from every evil trap that Satan has set in front of me. And I may have said this last time when I was here for the church anniversary, the more closer you are to God, the more Satan is active in your life. The more we need to be watchful, the more we need to pray for one another. Because what Satan does is to destroy our faith just by sowing a seed of doubt. That's all he needs to do, and that's what all he did. Even right at the beginning with Eve. Did God really say? We know the whole story, how it ended. Don't let Satan make you doubt of your faith. You're secure. We have a hope. We are children of the Almighty God. But our duty is to hold on to that hope and do everything we can to live like children of our loving Heavenly Father.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.